Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Sanja Hoag, former women's basketball coach at Louisiana Tech and at Baylor University. This was recorded June 29, 2021 in the KWBU studio. Hosting today's conversation is Nan Holmes.
I am so honored to welcome Sanja Hoag as my very special guest today. Sanja, I have been wanting to talk to you about your leadership style for a very long time. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Nan. It's good to be here.
When I think of leadership, you are at the top of the list for me. But I want to ask you about my standard question about who influenced you the most in your early years when you were really young.
When I was real young, I'm seventh grade, I guess. That's pretty young. Mm-hmm. Junior high, I had a physical education teacher, Dr. Sylvia Stroops. She wasn't a PhD then, but she went on to Louisiana Tech and taught for almost 40 years and just recently passed away. But when I, in the seventh grade, entered junior high and found out that you could actually teach sports, you know, mm-hmm. officially, and I knew right then that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, someone asked me actually just this past weekend, and I never wavered any time from what I wanted to do. I wanted to teach, and I wanted to teach sports. So with that said, I taught health physical education for a number of years and while my husband was in law school at LSU. And then, you know, I just kind of fell into it when Dr. F.J. Taylor, Louisiana Tech, wanted me to come there first to teach and to start a women's basketball program.
Yes, my husband graduated from Louisiana Tech in 67, and we were married for a year before he graduated, and we would go and watch Leon Barmore play.
Yes, yes.
That was before the explosion of the Lady Texters. But
right.
In the field of athletics, was Sylvia still the most influential person?
She was, because she was in health and physical education mm-hmm. and taught on the faculty, and she always had a great, and of course she was my major professor, mm-hmm. you know, there. But I watched Leon play ball, too. We were there at the same time. He graduated in 67, and mm-hmm. I graduated in 68, and he was a walk-on for Scotty Robertson's teams at Louisiana Tech, and just a great little guard. But I enjoyed watching him play, and our paths would cross later in life.
That's just amazing. The world is so small, but my 15 years in collegiate athletics were spent at Northwestern State, and uh-huh. I wasn't in coaching. I was in athletic administration.
Uh-huh.
And you were up the road at Ruston, and you were
right.
building your dynasty and shaping the future of women's athletics. And really and truly, it's never been the same, thanks to you, because I remember when Delta State won the championship, and then you turned it upside down. And what I was doing is on a weekday afternoon collecting roll tickets in a cigar box, uh-huh. and they would play at 2:30 in the afternoon. So you had maybe 10 people in the stands. But I didn't realize the impact women's basketball could have. Is we barely could get anybody to come to the women's games. They did move them to the evening. That was a big fight to get them mm-hmm. to play. And you would come to town, and people who couldn't get a ticket in Ruston would come to Northwestern to Prather Coliseum, and they'd fill it up. There wasn't a seat to be had, but it wasn't Northwestern fans hoping to beat Louisiana Tech, the Lady Texters.
I know it.
It was just, but I can't describe it how.
We started out, and Dr. Taylor,
mm-hmm,
that made a couple of wanted me to do a couple of things, and one was he did not want me to play on the same night as the men. In other words, he didn't want me to play early in the afternoon before the men, and then the men play. And so I knew I could do that with the schedule. And he wanted our team to be dressed nicely and look good on the floor. And, of course, I spent most all my $5,000 budget that first year on wonderful Speedline uniforms, home and away. But it was just a wonderful experience and starting out. But after 3 years, we won the state championship.
You know, that was AIAW.
AIAW, mm-hmm. And all of us were in the AIAW.
Yeah.
And, of course, we had our Louisiana AIAW.
Yeah.
And all of that, and all the coaches got together and met and made the bylaws and all the rules and all that sort of thing under the umbrella of AIAW. But that third year when we won the state championship, gosh, we played that Friday afternoon, evening, and the gym, our gym was packed. And I looked up in the stands, and there were bank presidents and, you know, all the people in Ruston.
Everybody closed
their doors and came to the ball game. But that was kind of the beginning of everything. And Dr. Taylor, you know, when you win, you ask for something. And I waited a little while and then went to Dr. Taylor and asked him if I could have an assistant. I'd been teaching full-time.
Washing the uniforms.
I did have a good manager, but she was the tallest person on the team and couldn't play. But if I couldn't have an assistant, because I was doing it all. And he thought about it a while and came back to me and said, yes. I even told him who I wanted to hire, and that was Leon.
And wow.
So Leon and I had talked together after graduating from Louisiana Tech at Ruston High School, and he was the boys' coach because they didn't have a girls' team there, and and I taught health and physical education and sponsored the pom-pom girls and 150 marching pepettes and three sets of cheerleaders and, you know. And so when I was asked to start the program after I'd left Ruston High School and went to Louisiana Tech, and Dr. Taylor asked me to start a program for our women, Leon was the first one I went to, you know, just to pick his brain, so to speak. And I didn't know how to many basketballs to order or whatever, you know. So we were kind of in the thing together from the get-go.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. But there's one thing I know about you, or I think I know about it, is that you have an incredible sense of vision. It seems that you can look at the situation, know what to do next, and that to me is how leaders really do succeed. Share with me some of the highlights of your visions.
Well, I will say that obviously I had a president that had the same vision as I did, or we'd been in big trouble. But he allowed me to, I knew that if I got the right person in there to help me, and at that time, a man as an assistant for a woman was unheard of. So we just called Leon an associate coach, an assistant coach of all sports. And I think he coached maybe the softball team or whatever. But I knew that, and I shared this with Dr. Taylor, that we were winning pretty good. I was recruiting some nice players in Louisiana, and given a little help to handle the kids on our team for practice and that sort of thing, of which Leon could stay at home and do that. And my vision was to go out of the state of Louisiana and recruit some players, which I did. And then I expanded the schedule when we started winning, and I went to him to ask him if maybe he couldn't arrange for us to go out of state and play some other places that besides Louisiana and Arkansas and Mississippi and whatever. He said, well, what did you have in mind, Sanja? And I said, well, California, Dr. Taylor. And that almost knocked him out of his chair. But he thought about it, and he said, he paused a moment and said, well, I tell you, if you can get UCLA on the schedule, we'll go to California. I said, all right. So I picked up the phone and called Billy Moore. Billy at that time didn't know me from anyone, and I told her we were this little team in Louisiana that wanted to come to California to play a game or two, and we got on their schedule. I also scheduled Pepperdine and USC that same trip. And what I didn't know was later that year, UCLA would go on and win the national championship, and that was in 78. And so here we go, off to California, Pauley Pavilion, going to play the defending national champions. And, of course, you know, that's the place where Coach Wooden and all those championships that he won. And it was just a wonderful experience. And Billy and I got to know each other real well later on. And she always told me, she said, you know, I want you to know now, Sanja, that UCLA is really the reason we kind of put you on the map. We're the reason for the success of your program, because we went into Pauley Pavilion and we had just barely scratched the surface in the top 20 in the country. And I want you to know, we went into Pauley and Billy had not lost a home game at UCLA in Pauley Pavilion since she was the coach at Fullerton. And she beat UCLA when she was the head coach at Fullerton. But that's the last time that she became the coach at UCLA, and they hadn't lost any games at home. Well, we proceeded to go in there and beat them, the defending national champions, on their home floor. I won't say it was by very much. Mary Kendrick was shooting free throws, so it was a close game, but we did win and went on and won the first game against Pepperdine and then followed up with a win against USC. And when we flew back and landed in Shreveport, we were ranked number 8 in the country.
Wow.
By that West Coast swing, and of course, we were out there a week. And of course, I believed, my vision was, we were coaching, and these young women were playing the game and learning an awful lot through basketball and having a lot of wonderful experience through basketball. And I wanted to give them some other experiences. So we went to Disneyland and other places while we were out there.
Yeah, I went with Pat Pearson's team to Hawaii 1 year, and I thought I'd won the lottery.
That's right.
Because that before women, they drove old station wagons.
Yeah, and old buses. We had the Blue Goose. We had to push that thing half the time.
Yeah, we had a bus driver, Mr. Ed, and he was such a character. I think the one thing that athletics has that I think is very important is the teamwork.
Yeah.
And how that teaches you that, and it never leaves you. Even if you're not a coach, just working with young people who have their whole lives ahead of them and teaching them to work as a team. I know so many who didn't play ball after college, but they stayed focused on how to work teamwork into the whole picture.
It really is, Dan, and that was one of the things that I spoke an awful lot of places, and, of course, the Lions Club and Kiwanis Club and any other club that would listen to me. And at that time, I was the only woman in attendance. They did not have women in the Lions Club. And the only reason I was there is because I was a guest speaker. But I told them, I said, you know, women's basketball can do the same things and athletics, the same things for women as they do for our young men. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, you talk about it building character and leadership and da-da-da. I said, it can do the same thing for our young women. And so I touted that from the get-go and was very successful, I think, in doing that at Louisiana Tech at that time with the vision of my president also.
And also I see, just talking to you, I'm reminded that you were kind of fearless. You weren't afraid to try something, jump out there, because you were the only woman in the room. I've been there because I know that becoming athletic business manager took me just a hard row, yeah. And you had to be so careful yeah. about, because I was the only woman in the building too, except right. for the secretaries.
Yeah, right. But, you know, you learn and you gain confidence the more success you have. And you know that the things that you are instilling are working. And so you just plow on. And, you know, when you're 28 years old and you're asked to do two or three things, you don't have any fear because you just jump in there and do it. And regardless, so... I was coaching and teaching and sponsoring the pom-pom girls. Scotty came do that and wanted to start a dance team, the Regal Blues, I named them. And, you know, so the sky was the limit on the load that I was carrying. But I could do that.
And when you came to Baylor, you had a lot of challenges. And how can you articulate how you approach a challenge?
Well, 20 years almost to the day from when I started the program at Louisiana Tech, I came to Baylor. I retired at Tech and wasn't going to coach again and ended up getting back in coaching and accepted the position here at Baylor in 94, 20 years later. And honest to goodness, of course, the program was down somewhat and... you know, I don't blame anyone for that except maybe that all goes with administration and where it ranks in the top priorities of your university, and it hadn't ranked very high up until that time and until they approached me about coming in and trying to make a difference. And, of course, it was a little tougher 20 years later than starting a program, I'll be real honest with you, from scratch. Because 20 years, all the other programs had soared. The Lady Longhorns and mm-hmm. University of Texas. Marsha Sharp was at Texas Tech and going great guns. So, you know, they were really flying high. But we did some things and instilled some discipline and early morning practices and, you know, just trying to do things that with dedication, showing the girls what the direction was that we wanted this program to go. And I have to admit that some of them had trips planned with their parents for spring break, on and on. And, of course, I wasn't used to a spring break because at that time we were always playing, you know, after the regular
yeah.
season we were vying for a national championship. And so they learned very quickly not to make plans. And it took us a couple of years to have a winning season. Of course, the schedule was already set when I got here. But we recruited, and I got television and radio. We did not have any radio.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any season tickets. Someone said, "Well, Coach, what do you need season tickets for? We don't have but about 500 or 600 out there." What? I said, "Listen, you just wait and see. People want to know where their seat is. If they're running late, they leave work late, they want to know they have the same seat every game. And trust me, we're going to fill this place." Well, you know, it took us a little while, but in 98, we did fill the place. And postseason in the NIT, WNIT, mm-hmm. which was, everyone was a paid fan, you know. And we had more people to see a game right over here in the Farrell Center than had ever witnessed a game, men or women, in the Farrell Center. We had 10,274, I believe, something like that. And but we filled the place. And, you know, I looked around, and we played Penn State. And Rennie Portland was a very good friend of mine. And she said, "Hoag, I can't believe this. I really can't believe this crowd." And, of course, the crowd was into the ball game and stood the whole game just about, and made a difference. Of course, we lost by 1 point, but it made an impression. It really did.
Oh, I tell you, that must have been for so, you know, such a long drought. And then all of a sudden it just begins to happen. And, right. and you get the input and you give so many people, especially women, something to hang on to cheer for. I think that is, I mean, most people just can't create that kind of ambience yeah. to get those kind of crowds. Yeah. But
well,
you know how to do that.
I was on the speaking tour again. I'd speak sometimes 3 times a day, breakfast, luncheon, and a dinner if we didn't have a game. But we got the people. I started the tip-off club.
Yeah, and that's a big deal.
The second year we were here, and that thing grew. And that was a real key to our success. But anyway, sixth year I was here in that position, 6 years, and we were going great guns. We had not such a great season my last year, sixth season here, and I asked Dr. Sloan if because I love Baylor and I wanted to stay at Baylor. So I knew what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And he said, "Well, what do you want to do?" I said, "Well, I want to go up there with Dr. Richard Scott and his shop up there in University Development." And we did, and I brought in. Kim was at Louisiana Tech, assistant coach, and with Leon. And I knew she was overdue to make that step as head coach. Somewhere, and I had already tried to get her several places because they had called me to try to talk to Kim. And anyway, it just worked out real well. 21 years ago, she came over here, and I went to University Development.
Well, when you went to University Development, you probably did like I have always done. You took everything you knew and just adapted it. And I think that's how you can be successful sometimes is when you see the challenge, you take everything you've known before and adapt it to that situation.
I think so, Nan, but I believe in all my experiences that life and successes are about relationships and relationships with team, administration, on your fans, and I made the transition to development very easily because I had got to know so many people when I was coaching, and, you know, it was just real easy, and it was just, I'd been asking for money all my life because you don't start out with nothing. In coaching and without asking for something, money or something for the dressing room or, you know, whatever. So I'd been, in essence, raising money almost.
Yeah, I say you are a pro at that. And one thing we have in common is we're both Louisiana girls, and you have always represented the state in such a positive way. And Louisiana has benefited from that. They know you're from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Even though you and I love Waco, we're here, we've lived here a long time, you couldn't dynamite me out. But there's something about that you have always been proud of where you're from.
Yeah.
And I am too.
Yeah. Of course, born and raised in Louisiana. Did start first grade in West Texas, though. My dad worked for H.L. Hunt, and we spent a little time out there, about five years, and I did start first grade and then move back to Louisiana for until I made the transition to Texas later on. But,
yeah
I'm proud of being from Louisiana. It's a great place, and in fact, I was back over there just this past weekend to the Louisiana All Sports Hall of Fame, and that's the football players and basketball and gymnastics and everything.
It's amazing. It's worth the trip over there to see it.
It is. It's wonderful.
Well, Sandra, I want to thank you so much for coming in the studio today. It means a great deal to me personally, but because I know how busy you are and you have people all the time asking you to interview.
Well, you know, I'm fully retired now. I thought I'd never live to see the day, but I am retired, and of course, Kim has gone back to her roots in Louisiana, and Nikki has come on board to lead us here at Baylor, and I'm really excited about her and watching
and her leadership
and taking this program and continuing the success that we've had here for so many years.
Well, I know a lot of people are standing on your shoulders because in basketball, women's basketball, because you truly are a living legend to me that just personifies what, if you make up your mind, it can happen.
Well, I appreciate that, Dan, but it's like I always say, great players make great coaches and, you know, make us all look real good. But it's other people, too, that along the way that I've come in contact with that have helped.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
This conversation was recorded June 29th, 2021 in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org.